Okay, thank you. Good evening. It again is Thursday, February 10th, 2022. This is a special meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board. I'm the chair, Michael Novick, and our secretary, Ralph Hawkins, will call the roll.
Okay, secretary calling the roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Christina Avalos? Alan Beek?
Alan Beek, present.
Jose Benavides? Jose? Come back to him. Fred Blair?
Present.
Sandy Childs? Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Eric Jacobson?
Here.
Davidia Jones?
Present.
Ali Lexa?
Here.
Rob Mason?
Mute yourself.
Please, if you're not speaking, please mute. We're getting a lot of noise from Oye and some others.
Barbara Marbach. Michael Novick.
Present.
Oye, Oye Yipo.
Here.
Myla Reason.
And not navigating.
Myla Reason, present.
Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Ziri Rideau.
Present.
Paul Roberson. Paul Roberson. Oscar Ulloa.
Presente.
Presente. Polina Vasiliev.
También presente.
Beth von Guten.
Here.
Carlos Zavala. Harvey Wasserman.
Here, present.
Okay, Paul Roberson again.
Paul, you need to unmute yourself. I see you, but we can't hear you.
Paul?
Okay, we'll come back.
Paul,
Mr.
No,
Chair.
Paul Roberson. Paul, please unmute if you're here.
Okay, do we have a quorum in any case? Note his presence if he does speak up later.
Did someone ask Jose Benavides again?
It's hard for me to count when you're talking. The count is 17.
Okay, thank you. There's a quorum. Jose Benavides, if you can speak up, or Paul Roberson.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, Jose is here.
Who is that?
Jose Benavides just spoke up. He's present. And Paul Roberson, if you can unmute yourself, that would be good. Okay, the proposed agenda for this was to call to order and roll call a land back acknowledgement and comportment approval of the agenda and appointment of timekeepers. We would consider excused absence requests, if any, the Pacifica mission statement, appeal for members and funds. The GM will present the budget. The Finance Committee would present its review of the budget. There would be LSB questions and discussions with opportunity for GM response and public comment. It may be possible that a portion of the meeting may be in closed session at the GM's request to discuss confidential personnel matters. The body would decide that if necessary. And then there would be a presentation of a motion, which is the motion from the Finance Committee at this point, and debate on that. Further public comment, and the LSB will vote. That's the only business on today's agenda. It's a special meeting just to deal with the budget.
May I be recognized?
Go ahead, Myla.
I'd like to move that the agenda be changed that after the GM makes his presentation, that instead of the Finance Committee presenting a review, I'd like to, as is our custom, hear from our treasurer. So I'd like that to read instead, the treasurer presents review of the budget, and I would like to provide our treasurer, Kim Kaufman, with the full 10 minutes to offer her review of our budget.
Second that.
Yeah, it's probably an oversight in typing. It was meant to say the treasurer and finance committee. The treasurer is also chairing the finance committee and did send the motion and the budget around to everybody.
Point of order, so, Secretary. If you're going to move and second, you have to identify yourself. I don't know who you
okay,
are.
Okay, thank you. So Myla Reeson moves an amendment to the budget to specify this, the treasurer with 10 minutes available to discuss the Finance Committee review of the budget. And that was seconded by Ali Alexa. And I don't think there's any objection.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Bella.
Bella DeSoto. Can you please mention Kim's full name for the record, please?
Yes, thank Kim you. Kaufman. Kim Kaufman is the treasurer of the KPFK. Not a member of the body, but the treasurer, and Kim is present. So hearing no objection, we'll consider that adopted. In terms of comportment again, and the land back acknowledgement, we have traditionally had that from a Native American member, Lydia Ponce, no longer on the board, but we recognize that this is unceded Native land, and also that we want to treat each other and the land we're on with the respect that it's due, and please request preferably by raising your hand, either with the raise hand function in the Zoom or by using, I believe it's *9 on a phone to raise your hand. That way you won't interrupt speakers when you raise your hand. Are there people who would like to serve as timekeepers for each individual comment and for the sections? Milo, you had offered to co-host. Are you willing to be a timekeeper for the sections? You have to unmute.
Michael, I'm not clear about how much time would be allotted, but I am willing, if you could just kind of brief me really quickly. I do have a phone here where I can.
Okay. Generally speaking, we try to restrict people to about 90 seconds per comment and wait for a second comment until other people have commented. You mentioned 10 minutes for the treasurer's report. I think we would need at least that long for the GM's report. And we did not set a time certain based on the advice from the discussion of the parliamentarian with the LSB chairs that setting time certains often interferes with business. So mainly it would be keeping track of the individual comments to 90 seconds.
I accept the challenge.
Okay, thank you. The only excuse absence request I saw was from Sandy Childs. Is there any objection to excusing Sandy's absence? Lawrence, you have a hand up?
No, not to object to the absence.
Okay.
I just want to remind you, Chair, that you send out a confidentiality NDA agreement that
yes, thank you.
The board members have signed. And since we're going to go into executive session, how does that affect that particular concern?
Thank you. That is a very good point. I did send around the confidentiality agreement that the HR people for the foundation have used, and we asked you to send it to myself and the secretary. Trying to see who's on the call that would have affected. Ziri, did you have a chance to receive that and to send it in?
No, I did not. So did you send this to me as an email?
Yes, I sent it to the whole LSB, and I think I said it went to individual members
okay.
as well. But it was
well,
an email.
I'm in a car right now, and I can't do it
okay.
in a half hour, sorry, but I can do it right after if I received it. Thank you.
Okay. I think the other people on the call previously submitted them. Jose Benavidez also is a new member. Molly, have your hand up?
Yeah, I just have, you know, it's going to be tricky to time the sections as well as the speakers. It would be helpful if one other person could take one part of that.
Okay, thanks. This is someone else who can keep track of our time. Belle, you have your hand up. Is that to volunteer for that?
Well, I wanted to let you know that Jose Benavidez has two concurrent meetings right now. He's on two other meetings right now. This is why he's not been.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Michael, has you volunteered to time?
Sure, just repeat the time limits again, please.
Well, we're talking about, I think, 10 minutes to present the budget and 10 minutes for the treasurer, and then we'll, be taking individual comments for about 90 seconds each from members of the board and members of the public.
And what about replies to comments?
Mikhail, how much would you like some time to reply to the comments and questions?
As long as you might seem appropriate, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I mean, 20 seconds is fine. 30 seconds is fine.
Okay, so we'll ask the GM to make note of some of the comments, and we'll give us some time after to respond.
So I can, if I might speak.
Go ahead.
Michael, this is Myla. Michael, working with you, I'll take the 90-second comment part of it if you'll take the section part of it.
That was addressed to Michael Heiss. Okay, thank you.
Right. Is that agreeable?
Works for me.
Okay, thanks. So was there any objection to the excused absence request for Sandy Childs? Hearing none, we'll accept that request for an excused absence. Someone like to read the Pacifica mission statement quickly.
Mr. Chair, Bella here.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The Pacifica mission statement, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation, to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject to their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended, in radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and color. To gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems, and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. The Pacifica mission statement.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lawrence. Yes.
I just would like to suggest that there are board members that need to sign that confidentiality. But we also need the officers, because two of the officers are not a board member. So I just want that included, like the Finance Committee, the Treasurer. Very important that she be in closed session in regards to financial matters. And the Secretary, Ralph, also needs to sign that NDA and confidentiality agreement.
Thank you, Lawrence. I was about to put the language into the chat. Kim, did you sign a confidentiality agreement in relation to your participation in the National Finance Committee?
I signed it relative to my participation in the NFC and the local finance committee. Whatever.
Great, thank
and
you.
I sent it to you before the meeting, so it's in your inbox.
Okay, thanks. Alexa, your hand is up.
I was just agreeing with what Lauren says, and if we're unable to secure signed NDAs from any participants, I would vote to have them not attend the closed session.
Yeah, thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. This is the Secretary.
Yes, go ahead, Ralph.
Okay, when you sent those forms out to everyone, the instructions said that they were to be sent to me, and I would collect them and submit them en masse. I mean, I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do, but normal, you know, the secretary has expansive duties for delivering things, and we can't have everybody sending their stuff all over the place. How can you keep track of who's in or out? But to date, I don't think I've received any.
Okay, can if you can sign your own, that would be helpful. And
okay.
I did forward you an email from Cynthia Dobek, which I think was CC'd to the Bolina as the secretary of the PNB or the Pacifica, and to the ED, Stephanie D. Wells. So if you can send yours along to me and to them, that would be great. Lawrence, is your hand back up?
Yeah, yes. I just want to say I emailed you my signed copy, I think, Wednesday. So.
Yeah, we had yours was on file. This is mainly for the people who had just recently elected. We have them for everybody who's been continuing members. Myla and then Bella.
Thank you, Michael. Years ago, I did sign one, and I was just looking now to see if I could find it in the email. Can you send it again and tell me what the subject line is so that I can find it easily in my email?
I'll try. I'll see if I can do that. Bella,
as I said, in the past, I have signed confidentiality agreements.
Yes.
So.
All right. Thank you. Bella?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I wanted to mention that there would be seven individuals that need to sign it. That is including Myla Reason and Ralph Hawkins. So seven people participating, members and participants, that need to sign it.
Yes, not all of them are on the call.
No, exactly.
This is Kim.
Okay.
I just sent it to Myla, so that's done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Can you please, this is Ziri Rideau. Can you please also send it to me? Because I don't think I received this, either Michael or Kim. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So the next item on the agenda, very briefly, is an appeal for members and funds for KPFK. The station, as people know, is in the midst of its February fund drive. And given that we're talking about the budget, it's particularly appropriate that we urge anyone on this call and anyone listening on the stream or elsewhere to support the station financially. It's vital that we have the funds we need to carry out and continue our operations and to provide the service that the station does of uncensored news and information, creative expression from the community, and the rest of what we heard the Pacifica Mission is dedicated to. So if you are currently a member, we'd urge you to increase your participation by becoming a sustaining member with a regular monthly contribution. And Myla, I see your hand up again. Go ahead.
I have it now, and I do not have the technology to print it out and to scan it. So.
Okay, well.
But I would like to verbally, if we can just, I verbally agree on the state, I, Myla Reason, verbally agree to, I consent to the use of electronic transmissions and all of the items that are contained in that agreement on this date, February 10th, 2022.
Okay, thank you. Let's please move on to the presentation of the budget. The GM is here with us, Mikhail.
Hello, yes. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Chair. I understand this is a special meeting regarding the budget drafted with Pacifica's chief financial officer, and I would ask the chair of this meeting to go into a closed session since there might be details of the budget regarding personal and business dealings that could be disadvantaged by public disclosure.
Okay. Is there a motion to that effect?
Bella, motions to that we shift to closed session at this time.
This is a Grace with a point of order.
Okay, what's your point of order, Grace?
Okay, financial information for the most part is not confidential. We would not want to have a closed session that includes publicly financial information. That should be public. It should only be for those specific which are proprietary or which deal with personnel issues. To propose an entire budget which would include mainly information that should be public in a closed session would be improper. So this meeting would have to be structured so that all of the information that should be publicly available is made publicly available, and only the information which is about personnel issues would be in closed session, if I'm understanding correctly. I believe, Mr. Calceta, that you don't intend to present all of your information in closed session that is all personnel issues. You would be also discussing information that would be most appropriately made public. I don't understand. But anyway, as a point of order, only those things which are specifically about personnel matters or proprietary information should be in closed session, not normal budgetary or financial information.
This is Kim.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, that point of order is well taken. I did communicate to the GM that the aspects of the budget that would deal with personnel or if they're proprietary business matters that would be adversely affected by public disclosure, but that would not apply to the meeting as a whole. I was going to ask the GM what amount of time he thought was necessary for that piece of it, but...
It's fine. I mean, if you will, I can...
I see several hands up, but let's get a response from the GM, and then we'll come back to the hands that are up.
No, let's hear the hands up. And
okay. All right. I have Beth had her hand up for a while, and Lawrence, and there's a member of the public. We'll get to that in a minute.
Beth,
and I'll Alexa. Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. The provisions, as Grace has described them, are my understanding too. That as a a nonprofit organization, we have an obligation to be open and accountable. That's our way of being accountable for the entire budget process and finances. And there are certain, you know, proprietary issues or personnel issues that do belong in closed session, and or we can move to closed session for those proper items. But as a whole, it's necessary to address the budget as a whole in public.
Yeah. Mr. Thank you. All right. There are a bunch of hands up, Bella. You're on the list. Before
you put me on the stack, Michael? I can't find where to raise my
hand. Okay. It's it's down. If you're on a computer, it's below reactions. If you click on reactions, you'll see the raise hand function. So I have Lawrence Reyes, Ali Alexa, Kim Kaufman, and Bella DeSoto. And we do have some public comment. We'll get to it in a minute. But I would like to try to wrap this part of it up and get to as much public presentation of the budget as we can, as soon as we can.
A point of order. This is Myla.
Go ahead, Myla. What's your point of order?
I don't think that this discussion is in order. I think that we should go directly to our general manager's presentation of the budget.
There.
Okay. If people have their hands up. Let's see what the general manager has here, what the comments are. So let's please try to move through that. Lawrence, what was your comment?
I raised my hand in support of you sustaining Grace's point of order, because she is correct.
Yeah.
Proprietary and personnel matters do belong in executive session, but overall financial matters should be held open to the public.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Al. All right. Is there any objection to having the GM present what he can publicly, and then we'll take it from there?
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella.
Yes, I object. I object because they're double standards. While at the local station finance committee, there's a refusal to open up a lot of the information requested. Now, the general manager is being compelled to hold the entire session in open session with few exceptions. So I find this to be a double standard. I am one for transparency, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
But I do not appreciate double standards. Thank you.
Okay, Ali, did you still have a comment to make?
Pretty much along the lines of what Lawrence said. We've had public discussions of the budget many times.
Yeah.
Let's keep this as transparent as possible. Also, since we don't have all the confidentiality agreements signed, let's try and do as much as we can transparently and in public.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Mikhail, why don't you go ahead and then we'll hear from Kim as the treasurer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I am not KPFK's financial officer or Pacifica's financial officer. I understand that Pacifica's financial officer gives KPFK's financial committee the explanations that she deems appropriate in a regular basis. So I will answer to the best of my knowledge, and I hope I will provide you with the rationale that explains why we came out with the current proposal. Let me tell you first that we came from an absolutely urgent situation more than a year ago. Then the current situation doesn't pop up out of the blue. It has been the responsibility of Pacifica's financial committee, I understand, not to have a budget for at least the last 2 years. That's what I've been told. But it is also the responsibility of both boards, the decisions of which brought us to some extent here. I suspect they didn't follow the LSB chair's understanding of what a budget is and is not. Per the chair, quote, a budget is not primarily a column of figures on a page that can be messaged and changed at will, unquote. And I cannot agree more. That's what I suspect was done in the past when mandating reductions on a scale of 40% without giving, to my understanding, due consideration to these reductions. The Financial Committee draft is not made out of a whim. Sorry, the budget draft is not made out of a whim. We spend many days going back and forth and assessing the current situation. Second, this draft has a previous explanation that reduces the deficit to a half. And third, at the beginning of my tenure, I made clear to the IED that in order to stabilize the situation at the station, not only financially, but in terms of permitting and HR, we needed some time, a valuable time we could buy by receiving an idle loan. I think that this loan has been approved with the underwriting of KPFK, but it hasn't been deposited yet. I am counting on just a part of this loan to navigate this year and break even on the next fiscal year, 22-23. Now to the numbers. So the draft sent to this LSV Financial Committee is scary because it has a deficit of almost 900,000 after cutting the expenses more than one third of the previous, so to speak, budget, or the previous fiscal year. And so we were coming from 3,098,359 to 1,935,282. Okay? I know all of you think the easy way to fill this gap to go is to increase revenues. I don't see the thing. We can think of it, but first there are two aspects that I think you had to consider. Revenues of fiscal year 21 were based on the programming, obviously, having two fundraiser pillars like Ian Masters and Sonali. They both quit in August last year. You may like or may not like these two fundraisers, but these two hosts, but actually they were two pillars of the station. And they quit. They quit on August. We used to have also some, I don't know if it's the word is correct, but some problematic people, nevertheless good co-teachers, that were laid off. So that's the first aspect to consider when comparing revenues fiscal year 21 to the ones that we propose now. The second aspect is a miscellaneous income of some $350,000 from a PPP loan that eventually morphed as a donation, if I am not wrong. So the revenues estimated in the draft that we have presented are the most realistic ones. Nonetheless, I am optimistic in a sense. We can overcome those estimates. In fact, today is the third day of our fund drive, and we are already overcome the average that we are estimating on the budget. So the revenues estimated are the most realistic one, as I said. What I'm asking to almost break even with this draft are three things. The first one is to get a part of the idle loan that, again, has been granted, but still hasn't hit Pacifica's bank account. That obviously would raise the revenues budget. At the same time, what I'm asking is to have a moratorium contributing to the Pacifica National Office. This account alone is, as you know, 350,000 that would subtract from this draft. And the third one, I would say, is allocating the HR scarce resources that we have differently. So by doing so, I think that we would break even, consolidate the new programming, and have time to apply for a CSG grant that won't come until at least two more fiscal years. But we should be there. So this is my plan. I can expand on any aspect of it if you want. I pass the floor to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So,
Chair, this is Alan.
Yeah, sorry.
May I interrupt?
Yeah. Hang on a second, Alan.
I have to check out of this conversation. I cannot hear it. It's too faint.
Okay, try to work on your sound system, Alan, because you're very faint to us. So maybe that you need to set something higher on your speaker. In any case, we're going to hear from the treasurer.
Is Alan Beak leaving the meeting at this time?
Okay, thank you, Alan.
I can't hear. Thank you.
Thank you. Try to come back if you can. We'll hear from the treasurer, Kim Kaufman.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. Marisol Cruz is present.
Yes, I see a number of people present. We'll get to them at some point. Paul Robeson came back on the call. Marisol Cruz is here. Right now, we're going to hear from Kim Kaufman, please.
Can you hear me? This is Kim.
Go ahead.
Well, where do I start? One of the problems with this budget is that, and Julia Kennard, our CFO and basically acting business manager, worked with Mikkel on this budget. And independently, Julia and I looked at the per day revenue from the October and December fund drives. And we both came up with about $6,600 per day. Julia said that she tried to get Mikkel's per day number in his budget up to what we thought it should be, and he wouldn't budge from the $5,800 number. So the revenue in the budget is inordinately underestimated. In fact, we have the first quarter of the P&Ls, and it is what we're actually getting per month is twice as much as what's in the budget. That is not something this board, this body can fix. You know, that has to be done elsewhere. Let's see. And in fact, you know, just the average of the two fund drive days we've already had, we're already at $6,800. So that number is just wrong. And at the MFC meeting, our new ED, Stephanie Wells, joined, and she said she wants to take a much more active role in budgets, and she wants real numbers. And she and Julia are both very engaged in the budget-making process. And, you know, I think that is basically the next step where this needs to go. As for the EIDL loan, that's not a decision we can make. My understanding is that was allocated for another obligation Pacifica has. We cannot make the decision not to pay central services. And whatever his ideas are about personnel, that's really not our purview. That will be a national, you know, decision based on the whole budget. I don't really know what else to say. The numbers, you know, I could go through some more numbers, but it's just, it doesn't really matter. He did present a budget with a $900,000 or $1 million deficit, depending on, you know, any mistakes that might be in there, which is just insurmountable for us to do anything about. We rejected it, and I urge this body to reject it. I don't know if I have any more time, if people have any quick questions for me. If there's something that I'm missing that people want to know, I'll be happy to take a few questions right now.
You've got about 6 minutes in your 10 minutes left.
Okay. Is there anything important I've missed for the people that weren't at the Finance Committee?
I see your hand up, Ali. I'm sorry, I muted myself for some reason. We'll be taking questions from members of the LSB to both the GM and the treasurer, and then we'll be taking some public comment.
All right. Well, look, all I can say is, you know, this is the same budget the Finance Committee looked at, 2 weeks ago, and we rejected it. And I urge this body to reject it and let, our professionals deal with this, the ED and our CFO. And, the National Finance Committee and PNB.
Okay, thank you. I have hands up from Ali Lexa, Lawrence Reyes, and Polina Vasiliev. Ali, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a two-part question. If you don't mind, if I can ask it, get the answer, and then ask the second question.
Okay, go ahead.
It's my understanding that KPFK is already in arrears to Central Services for quite a bit of money. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you want to go back in time, since we still owe money from 2015. Yeah, we owe for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what exactly is the purpose of Central Services?
Well, they pay for all of the common expenses that all the stations have, such as paying for the audit, paying for the payroll service, paying for all the legal expenses. I mean, we're, getting our license renewed right now. We're in that process. They're FCC attorneys. That all gets handled by National. All of our insurance expenses are handled by National. We only pay for earthquake insurance because, we're in Southern California.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that it goes to pay for that we use.
Right. And also paying for our attorneys and health care for employees and so forth.
Exactly.
So
right.
it's not really realistic to just plan to not pay our Central Services as part of a budget projection. My second question is, you mentioned this budget has a $900,000 to $1 million deficit written into it. Is that annual deficit?
Yeah, that's for this year.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't seem very realistic. All right, thank you.
Somebody needs to mute, please.
And let me just clarify.
Go ahead.
Each station does pay for the health bennies, but the administration of it is done by National. We'd have to hire a whole administrator, ourselves, if National didn't do that for all the stations.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I have Lawrence and then Polina.
Yeah, thank you, Mikhail and Kim. So this whole idea of a moratorium on Central Services payments, how do you rationalize that in a budget when we are already behind in Central Services payments? And I'd like to hear from Mikhail first because he was the one that mentioned it. I just find that hard to make me jive it. I just have a difficulty understanding that as part of a budget, of a deficit budget as it is. But how much is that going to add to the deficit if we vote for a moratorium on Central Services payments?
Mikhail? Yes, if we hold this moratorium, that reduces our expenses in $351,000. What I'm saying is that since we are already, Kim has already told Ali about the central services account that we owe to Pacifica National Office, and this goes back to 2, 3, and even 4 years. So frankly, I understand that that obviously we should contribute to Pacifica National Office, but I also understand that this number is a number that was set many years ago when the situation, when the financial situation was another situation. I don't think we can afford as a foundation some of the things we used to afford, although I wasn't here, but I can certainly know. So that's what I wanted to have, this moratorium. On the other side, I am really pessimistic on the numbers that I put on this draft, but nevertheless, I am optimistic on what we are doing, because that shows. And what we are showing now is that on a fund drive, without any preemption and without doing any kind of weird programming, so to speak, we are so far raising at least a bit of more revenues than the last fund drives. So I'm optimistic, but look, we can move the numbers however you want, but we've already made the cuts that we were able to, and frankly, it is not an easy situation unless we are all on the same page saying, hey, we have to go exactly without deficit. Okay, then there are other things that have to be done, but I don't think that this is the point of discussion today.
Okay, I see Paulina, and then and if there are no other LSB hands, we'll take some.
Lawrence also asked me the question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Lawrence, what was your question again? What?
My question, Kim, is to put it in a nutshell. The moratorium is like kicking the can down the road.
Yes. Because Mikel didn't answer your question, so I forgot what it was. I'm totally not okay with just kicking the can down the road. And if I was to make a recommendation to Mikel, when this budget goes up to national, that he comes up with some revenue raising ideas, as well as just saying, no, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. But, I think we all can think of revenue-raising ideas. I certainly can. And I think that that's his responsibility. So, yeah, I'm not okay with and besides which, it is not a decision we can make here. Okay? We cannot approve a budget that is based on not paying central services. That's not something we can do. So, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I see a hand up from Paulina. And then I have a comment, and we'll take some public comment, and we'll see where we want to go from there. Paulina, go ahead.
Your hand has been raised.
Thank you. My question may have been answered already, but let me just make sure that it has been. So to Kim, are the two main objections to the budget as presented from your perspective and from the committee, the local finance committee, is A, that the revenue is being underestimated, and B, that the central services are not being budgeted. Is that correct, or is there anything else that's major for you, Kim?
It's not that Julia and I believe that the revenue was underestimated. So it's what I would call bad numbers. People mute. Thank you. We're not in the business here of correcting those numbers. That is what the CFO
MED will do. So that is one problem. The other problem is that you know, the GM somehow thinks this EIDL loan is going to come to pay for KPFK's underperformance. And yes, that there's just a lack of understanding that central services is something we look. We're a radio station with a huge tower in the middle of the second biggest city in the country. We should be able to raise revenue. That's it.
Oh, thank you. Michael, may I just a second?
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to ask you, Mikhail, believe you had more.
Yeah. Mikhail, would you mind explaining again your rationale for the daily figures on which you're basing your projections? And I do understand that it makes sense to project revenue based not based on what we hope will happen, but rather on what has happened previously, correct?
That's correct. Thank you, Paulina. Look, I just want to know that I'm not a magician with a magic wand, and say, hey, we're going to have this fantastic revenue. We can put this revenue if you want, but we cannot raise this kind of money. I totally agree when Kim says, hey, look, we have a big tower with this power in this second broadcasting market. That's absolutely correct. But unfortunately, we don't have what all the other stations have. That is a pyramid. And this pyramid has been messaged and moving around and wiggling so much that you don't have a base of listeners. And that's the first thing that we have to create. So I could go on saying that, oh, yes, we're going to raise the average per day will be this one. I have to look at the last average. In the October fund drive, this was an absolutely disgrace. No one else. There was no one. I mean, we were the second firm that raises more money was from midnight to 5. This is unbelievable. From midnight to 5, there's almost no one. And Roy made this miracle. That means that it's really, I mean, we are in a very difficult position. But nevertheless, that's what I'm asking to gain this time. I know that there are people that don't agree with me and say, hey, you should preempt all the programs that doesn't raise money and you should do whatever. Well, I do whatever I can, but in radio, in this case, I'm I have my hands tied in some of the things. We are only raising money from listeners and somehow from sponsorship sometime, but is a very gray area. Okay, so. I prefer to present these numbers that by doing these two operations, I know that we are almost breaking even and we don't fool ourselves than throwing or tossing the ideas, whatever the ideas you want. I mean, I can have all the ideas, but then these ideas have to be materialized. And this is not an easy thing. Especially when you only have this HR force, which is what I have. So so this is it.
Can I clarify, okay, please? This is Kim.
Okay, quickly. We have a lot of hands
quickly,
up.
I will quickly. Paulina, Mikhail's budget is based on 5,800 a day, maybe 5,900, but I think it was, you know, like 5,900. What I'm saying is, we already knew in January when we looked at this budget that we did 6,600 in October and 6,600 in December, and we're doing, maybe 67 2 days into this drive. So I'm saying the numbers are not even based on the reality that we already knew when we looked at that budget. Thanks.
All right, thanks. So I'm sorry, there are a bunch of hands up from the local station board. I do want to speak, but I'll put myself at the end. So I have Fred Blair, Harvey Wasserman, Bella De Soto, Eric Jacobson, myself, and then we're going to go to public comment. Fred, go ahead.
Do I have the floor, Michael?
Yes, Fred Blair.
Okay. One thing I want to explain is one of the features of our way our current fund drive's been working for the past 4 or 5 months is that we do 30 days of fundraising and then we do 30 days off. So the reason that we have an average of $60,000 a month is because in the month of fundraising, we're raising about $120,000 or maybe more. And so when you average that out, it comes out to about $60,000 a month. But our, you know, 2 years ago, we were raising $3 million a year, and now we're down to raising on the order of $1 million a year. So, this is basically untenable. Somebody said, you know, it's the programming stupid. We have to fix our programming so that people will give money to us. So, Kim, Do you have any comments on that?
I'm just going to ask the rest of the board members who were named to make their comments, and we'll come back for more discussion later.
Let me just make one quick comment, please. Basically, I programming is important, but I think there's much more involved than programming. We have no social media presence, for example. You know, what is the message that the GM is sending out when he sends these emails, which only go out rarely, and they don't have any kind of overall story that you know, we tell our listeners. So there's a lot of those other kinds of things that needs to be worked on. And I believe our ED is very familiar with these tools. Thank you.
Okay, so I have Harvey Wasserman, Bella De Soto, Eric Jacobson, and myself.
Michael,
I'll take some public comment.
I will be brief. Kim, your work is great, and you mentioned Miguel. We don't have a base of listeners. We do have a mission. The reason Pacifica is in a tailspin is because it has divorced itself from its mission and from its listeners. We've had 3 successive elections, which are not credible. We have a legal team that is breaking a union. We have another legal team that is being paid with listener money that refuses to disclose its fees. We're in the middle in this country of a fascist takeover from Steve Bannon and the Trump Nazis. And our mission as Pacifica is not being met, which is to be a beacon of democracy and to provide programming that will defeat fascism. If we do those things, if we walk the walk of real democracy and stick to our elections, if we get a legal team installed that actually discloses its expenditures and does things in favor of democracy as opposed to being against it, and if we provide programming that will inspire what used to be our base of listenership and which will meet our historic mission, we will prosper. For a progressive radio network, the only one of its kind in the country and possibly the world, to stray from its mission, to become anti-democratic in its internals, and to not fight for democracy.
Okay.
This is, wait a minute, I'll finish right now. This is more than just losing Ian and Simnali. This is losing our mission. If Pacifica was in the
thank you, Harvey.
Fighting for democracy, we would have more than enough funds to do what we need to do.
I have Bella, Eric, and then myself, and then we'll take some public comment. You have to unmute yourself, Bella.
There you go. Thank you. So I have some internal conflicts because I do see what Miguel is trying to convey here. I am on the page he's at. I do like what his position is regarding programming, things that he's starting to do or not do. It is a shift in the right direction. I do agree that we had been married to certain programmers in the past, and that should have never been. And then that goes to the core of what Harvey was just arguing, but I go in the other direction, is that we should have never had those union contracts. We are a nonprofit. We are not for profit. Based on $5,800 per day, that's not so bad. What I feel needs to happen quickly is a revamping of the programming grid, which he is doing. He is doing. And we need to bring back as soon as possible our news department. We have been lacking a news department. It has given us, it has taken a great deal of credibility for us. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more robust in reductions of salaries and programming. If we are not going to be training the youth, then I would see a greater reduction in programming. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Eric, then myself.
Thank you, Michael. First, I'd like to say that everything that Harvey said is essentially a prevarication. I'm not going to go into it because we're here to discuss the GM's, you know, stewardship in regard to finances. I want to compliment Mikhail on his work with getting flashpoints onto our grid from KPFA, and also asking programmers like Scott Horton, our excellent anti-war radio programmer, to do his own pitching. I listened to it in real time, and or maybe through the KPFTX, I forget, but he did an excellent job, and I hope it was successful in attracting some of his listeners to donate. What disappointed me in your report, Mr. General Manager, though, is that unlike on previous occasions, you have seemingly dropped the idea of turning to some of the mission compatible local businesses for some help financially during fund drives of an appropriate kind. Asking, we used to thank the people, the local businesses who brought food to the phone room during fund drives at the end of the fund drive, and they got a mention, they got a shout out, they got their location mentioned. It was a bit of a quid pro quo, but it was okay. And we can build on that concept and try to replace some of these lost revenues that we're having from basically, we have unfortunately a number of our members who have gone on strike. Harvey, get your people to stop boycotting the station financially. It's a shanda.
Can we respect the time?
All right. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Please don't direct your comments. Your point of order is we should not be directing comments to each other or making comments about other members of the board, please. Is that your point, Myla, or something else?
That is a violation of our code of conduct. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll try to be brief. I think that the situation, economic and programming situation, the station has been deteriorating for years. We spent 4 years of the Trump administration when a neo-fascist was in power, openly in the society, thinking that somehow we were going to be the voice of opposition to Trump, and that would be the high road to listenership and membership, and it proved to be a complete chimera. It didn't happen. We continue to lose members. We continue to lose funding. We continue to run deficits. We continue to have imaginary income. So I think that the changes that have been made are positive ones in terms of ending the preemption, ending the reliance on consultants and big ticket budget items have nothing to do with the Pacifica mission. But I think we have to have the complement to that is a clear path forward of how to regain membership, rebuild our listener base over the period of the rest of this fiscal year, which I think does involve additional changes in the programming and more community-based programming. I think it involves a membership drive campaign that can be carried out with the support of like-minded mass organizations in this area that are in tune with the Pacifica mission, ranging from the American Civil Liberties Union, the Sierra Club, the SoCal350.org, Democratic Socialists of America, ADA, on and on and on, organizations that have mass memberships who need to take with the, you know, the station to those organizations, find influential people within those organizations, and set goals, set clear goals. I think we could have a goal to increase our membership by 1,000 people a month over the rest of this year. We could have a goal to increase our sustainers by a person a day, and those can be built into this budget. I'll stop. So we have a bunch of people from with public comment, and I'm not sure of the order, but I have Michael Heiss, someone who's labeled themselves as Mission District, Ruth Strauss, and Jim Dingerman. So, Michael Heiss, you want to go ahead?
Yes, thanks, Michael. A budget based on not paying central services is like Wimpy in the old cartoon saying, I'll gladly pay you tomorrow for a hamburger today, or am I telling the bank I can't pay the mortgage, but I'll pay the electric company? I would like, if possible, to hear Ms. Wells comment on this, since ultimately central services comes under her jurisdiction. It seems like if we don't pay central services, well, then if I were KPFA or WBAI, I'd say, yeah, I don't want to pay them either. And then the whole thing implodes. I mean, that's just nutty. The other thing that I would like to ask is there, given the resolution was passed early this morning, is there any notion of what the benefit will be if we get any revenue back from the Franchise Tax Board? And finally, I'd like to ask Mikkel, as the voice of the station, you're the general manager, what have you been doing to get in front of foundations and high net worth donors so that you can increase that part of the budget, so that we don't have to do things like, not pay central services? So I hope, Michael, that Ms. Wells can be allowed to answer.
Yes, I do want to call on her. Thank you. We will get to that. Yeah, let's take the rest of the public comment first. So we have the Mission District. I'm not sure who that is, but go ahead. You have to unmute.
Hi. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. So I wanted to point out a couple of things. One is that it is not true that a finance committee or an LSB is incapable of changing the numbers in the budget. Someone can bring a motion to increase the revenue based on the fundraising takes the average daily for the in the past two drives. That adjustment can be made. I think it's not a good idea to simply have the LSB say, oh no, we can't work with this, and then send it to the National Finance Committee and the PNB. It is the LSB's job to approve the budget. And if that means making amendments, then make amendments. That's one. Two is the idea of central services. You know, this National Finance Committee, probably for the past 2 years, has been talking about changing the central services amounts. They were last fixed, I think, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know that they've changed, but KPFK certainly has changed, and that ought to be considered. I don't even understand how the NFC and National Finance Committee and the PNB is making is approving budgets when the central services question has not yet been resolved.
Can you wrap it up?
Yes, I will. There's the issue of the SCA, the subcarrier accounts, which is the rent that there's a Korean language station that uses the subcarrier for KPFK. They pay monthly.
Not anymore.
That money. No. Okay, please. I don't know who was just speaking. May I finish?
Yeah, please, but please wrap up.
Way over time.
Okay, thank you, Michael. So that money, as in the case of WBAI, goes straight into the national office, where it subsidizes the rest of the network. we ought to get credit for that.
Okay, thanks. We'll take the other public comments. I have Ruth Strauss, Jim Dingaman, and James Sagerton, and I would like to hear if she's going to from Stephanie Wells, our ED. Ruth, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that in terms of programming, any changes, I think should be done in consultation with the program committee. Miguel is new to our station, and there are those of us who have been members for, you know, years and years and decades. So I don't think unilateral decisions about programming should be made without consulting the programming committee. Also, you know, I've harped on this before. I will send Miguel screenshots, but the pledge gifts, they only put like three per page. It's ridiculous, and then the rest of the page is blank. So people have to scroll through pages and pages to even look at things. They're not in any kind of order, either by program or by amount. So that's totally disorganized. Also, when I called in last time to make a pledge and I had a question about something for Margaret, some person said they couldn't answer it right then. They would get somebody to get back to me, and nobody did. So I don't know, was that an outside group that was taking pledges last time, and has that changed, or is that outside group going to be doing it again?
Thanks. We'll try to get some answers to a few of those questions at the end. Jim Dingaman, then James Sagerton.
Yes, thank you, Michael. And Miguel, I realize it's a very tasking and tough job to deal with the situation in Los Angeles that you are facing and everybody's facing, as it is in Houston and as it is in New York. And hardly for someone in New York from BI to lecture anybody about the problems we have, because, you know, we have the same kind of problems. We just have to all work together to figure out a way to solve this problem, because it really is simple. Our listenership has dropped by 75% to 80% since 2000. And that, to me, is where the problem lies. We just don't have enough listener members to subscribe. And it's painful to watch what's going on in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Houston, New York. And also, Michael just nailed it on the head. We had Trump for 4 years. For all I know, we could have him for another 4 years. And we did not raise our revenue. It actually went down. Right. So I think we all have to work together to try to solve these problems. And I could have a lot more to say, but we have to we can do it. I have no doubt about it.
Thank you. James?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to add at the beginning of my comment that certainly Miguel has inherited a big problem, and it's not, of course, his doing that got us where we are here. This is something that he stepped into, although I do certainly agree that you could raise the revenue in this budget according to the actuals that have come in, and you could also, I'll just leave it at that. You can raise the revenue according to the actuals, but I think what you really need to do, and I can't emphasize this enough, is you need to do the full range of fundraising that was done previously at KPFK and brought in much of the income. Relying on the programs to simply promote themselves to their listeners and depend on donations alone without thank you gifts that members have become accustomed to. And that may not be the best of all worlds, but at least in the short term, we have to return to preemptions when necessary and thank you gifts when useful in order to solve this immediate crisis. This is an immediate emergency. And depending on the EIDL loan is really no way out. We have the FJC loan that we were hoping to dedicate much of the EIDL loan to cover, and can't do that in this.
Okay, can I try to wrap up, James?
I will. If we use it to pay for KPFK's payroll on an ongoing basis. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I would like to ask Stephanie Wells, our ED, who's on the call. She's interested in making some comments, particularly about the EIDL loan and other matters.
Yes, I'm happy to welcome everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot to absorb here, not just with KPFK, but just all the stations in general. And one of the things that has really impressed me with a lot of these meetings that I've been sitting in and listening to across the country is the obvious passion that everybody has for the stations that they support and the stations that they listen to. Everybody refers to it as my station, my Pacifica, and, you know, that may be a Pollyanna approach to looking at things, but I think that there is great enthusiasm and passion for that. So I appreciate everybody's input and everybody's suggestions. And there's been a lot of wonderful comments that are made and asking for me to reach out to people. So I definitely do want everybody to know that I want to speak to everybody. I'm an open book, and I'm willing to share as much information as I can about myself, and also just hear what everybody else has to say as well. So I'll be putting, I'll send out my phone number to folks, and I'm always available. It does hurt a little bit being a Los Angeles native as well, sort of see the state of KPFK, but I trust Miguel. I know what, you know, he has been put in a very tough situation, and I know that he has great passion and hope for the station. And it is very, my dogs are playing right now, so forgive the squeaking in the background. But, you know, I know that he has a great staff that's there, and everybody, again, at KPFK is so passionate about, you know, there's folks that are working there that aren't making any salary, and that they're still there pretty much putting in a full run. But there is an emergency, obviously, that we need to work on right now as far as programming and trying to get the revenue up. As far as the central services system, I was kind of surprised to see, I mean, I've worked many years for YMCAs, and it's kind of like the same thing. All the affiliates or the YMCA locals all pay into the national offices. And one of the things that we had with the central services system, basically with the YMCA, is that you do build up the cash reserve that can be used to support different branches, or in this case, stations and different departments when they do need that financial assistance. So it's a very easy thing to sort of say, let's just stop paying them. But we should have a long-term goal or a short-term goal of being able to build up that reserve, so that we're not calling each other sister stations to try to borrow money to make payroll, because then we're just basically, you know, taking a loan to pay a loan or using a credit card to pay another credit card bill. And that's just not the way to go. It's a quick fix, and we can't have long-term health and sustainability of this nonprofit as a whole unless we create a healthy financial base. We have that healthy financial base. Then we can have good programming. We have good programming. We increase our listeners. We increase our revenue. So it's kind of this vicious circle, and we're kind of stuck in the middle of that tornado right now. But, you know, we'll need to figure out, obviously, and I don't have an answer right now for the immediate, try to increase that immediate revenue. Even again, if it's, you know, I mean, Miguel and I have talked about it a little bit, and we can talk about it some more, but, yeah, we can't really stop paying central services at this point because we're just going to dig ourselves. And I want stations to be able to come to central services or, you know, come to the main office when there are financial issues, and we need to be able to build up that revenue to have that reserve.
Thank you, and thanks for, you know, taking on this task for the foundation as a whole. It's, you know, a huge undertaking, I think, for the management in general. I do think that in relation to what Harvey said earlier, that, you know, democratic governance is a strength of Pacifica. And I see quotes in the chat from Harvey and others about, you know, trying to regain a Pacifica stature as a bastion against fascism and against the right wing, and without affiliating with any political parties. I think that is what the mission implies. I do want to point out to people who might be confused about this, we've been accruing in our budgets for several years, payments for central services that we have not made. I think last year we only made one payment. That was only because it was taken from the money that was allocated to KPFK from one of the PPP loans, and they just said, okay, we're going to take this and put it towards central services. But we have not been paying central services for at least 2 years that I'm aware of, and in some earlier tenures of interim general managers, we still owe, I think, from, as Kim said, 2013 or 2014, a year's worth of central services have not been paid. So having a realistic budget, I think, does require some adjustments there. I also think that in relation to the Pacific Radio Archives, there are two separate central service payments. One's for the national office, the other's for the PRA. We need to figure out some way at a national level for the PRA to be an income generator for the foundation and not a burden on each of the individual stations to cover the cost of the PRA. I think we lost the exemption we used to have here for hosting the PRA in the KPFK building some years ago in central services, and the discount that we got for the PRA central services was eliminated by the Pacific National Board. I think that the other factor, again, that was raised in James's remarks, the national central services was always calculated on the basis of the gross of listener support for the stations. And that's been a very, very deceptive figure here at KPFK for many years, because the net of listener support is much lower.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
may I be recognized?
I just had to clarify a few of those things.
This is Myla. May I be recognized?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm wondering if our new ED, thank you so much for being here, Stephanie, if she might be willing to take some questions from the board. So I'd like to move, if possible, to have an opportunity for the board to have a Q&A with our new ED if she's willing. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chair, Bella.
Okay. I think Myla's trying to make a motion, but what's your point, Bella?
I agree with that, but can we please exhaust the public comments first? And then I've had my hand up as well. I would like to ask Ms. Wells questions too. But can we exhaust the public area first?
Okay, I do see that one hand came up from a 305 area code. I hadn't seen that previously. James has his hand up again, or didn't lower it, I'm not sure. But I appreciate the ED being on the call, but we did have an agenda which is related to the budget, and I don't think we should stray too far from that, because that the reason we called the special meeting was to try to reach some decision about the budget. 305, do you want to speak?
Yes, thank you. This is William Hairwagon from New York. I'd just like to say I wish people would show a little respect for the general manager and learn how to pronounce his name. Just for people that are supposedly involved in Pacifica and read everything and care, you can't even pronounce the man's first name right. Please, let's get it right.
I agree.
Okay, thank you. So his name is Mikel with a Q, Calzada with a C or whatever that is on the second C. It's a soft C. Mikel Calzada. Thank you. James, did you have your hand up again? And Michael Heiss, the agenda really calls for us returning to the question of a motion. It is 7:31 our time, which is 10:31 on the East Coast. I want to be sensitive to that.
Mr. Chair, Bella.
Okay, I see two members of the public with their hands up again, which is James Sagerton and Michael Heiss. Did you have additional comments you wanted to make in relation to the budget? James or Michael?
I did, Michael, but I think Michael Heiss was before me.
That's fine. It'll be really quick. I was just going to say what you've already said, Michael. Is there a way that we can begin to rope this in to some conclusion so that even though there's no time certain that we can, achieve the goal of the meeting and be done.
Can we move on?
Fucking Bella.
Bella, stop.
Thank you. And, you know, and we can achieve some desired outcome within a reasonable period of time. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, go ahead, James.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to correct something that a previous speaker said about the NFC has been talking about changing the central services formula for 2 years. In fact, we did change the central services formula last year, in part specifically to address the situation where KPFK's central services are wildly out of proportion to where they should be, because they were several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, based on the much higher income that they had then. We changed it to 16%, and that was never applied. So the previous interim executive director did not apply the new formula that we did pass. It passed the NFC and it passed the PNB as well, but it was never applied. And finally, I want to say that two stations do have side carrier income because of having room on their antenna that other organizations rent from us. However, those two stations both are not paying and have not paid their central services for a long time. We were asked by the previous interim executive director not to mess with that formula for the side carrier income, because that would mean that those two stations wouldn't be paying anything at all into the national office. And those that can be adjusted probably sooner than later would be better, but it's just a paper adjustment. If we're going to get credit for our side carrier income on our central services, when we're not paying the central services anyway, it's not creating any extra money. It's not, it's just a paperwork transaction, and okay, we can apply it to central services at a future time to the past arrears. Thank you.
All right. I have three members of the board with their hands up, and we haven't heard from Lawrence for a while, so I'll take them in reverse order. Lawrence Reyes, then Milo, then Bella.
Thank you, Chair. And welcome, Stephanie. I do own your phone call. I will do that soon. In regards to the adjustment to the central services formula, that adjustment of 16% was not only because it was KPFK. It wasn't specific to KPFK. There are quite a few stations. And I'm not going to mention any because I'm about one network, not about one station. But KPK is my station. I just want to say this, that there are, I believe, three stations in the network, or maybe four, that are behind the central services payments. So I just want to correct the record that it wasn't, the formula wasn't just adjusted for KPFK. And I don't know if the previous IEP did not implement that formula. I would definitely like to find out if Stephanie could ask the previous IED if that's the case. Thank you.
Florence is correct about the four stations.
Thank you. So I have Myla and Bella.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you so much, Stephanie. This is Myla Reason. I am an elected staff representative on the KPFK local station board. And as you may know, KPFK is a union shop for the employees of KPFK. And it's my understanding that they have been operating without a contract for over a year now. And it's also my understanding that Pacifica has employed a union busting attorney, retained this individual at $2,500 a week, who has been preventing, who has failed to sign the union contract. I was just on a call with a number of people, including Arthur Schwartz, the attorney for KPFK. I mean, for Pacifica, excuse me, who said that attorney, that union busting attorney, has been fired. And I'm just wondering, if he also said we're close to actually signing a contract, and I wonder if you can give us an update of that on that, because it seems to me that is a big expense to central services that's really pretty outrageous from my perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, point of order, Lawrence.
Yes, what's your point of order, Lawrence?
Yes, my point of order is that I believe my colleague's question infringes on proprietary information, and I would like to suggest to Stephanie that maybe she could provide the answer in writing. I don't think she should discuss personnel issues and allegations in public. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bella?
Yes. Thank you, Stephanie, for being here. Bienvenida. I lowered my microphone. I hope you can hear me. I have spoken to a number of people across the network. They never received, including myself, an official notice of your hiring, although it was posted at pacifica.org and at kpfk.org. And there was no official notice sent out to introduce you, your background, etc. That's what should have happened. So I want you to address that, and that should be done as soon as possible. I chair the outreach committee, and I decided not to send out, preempt you as a newly hired ED, national ED, until we heard from you, because there was no official notice sent out. So if you can work on that as quickly as possible so that the public knows who you are and your intention and blah, blah, blah. I wanted to say that I am I'm very perplexed. I have a conflict. I am not going to vote against this budget. I want us to work it out, rework it, and I do not appreciate trying to choke this general manager as Fine. He's doing the very best he can under the horrific conditions he was brought in. Thank you. Oh, and there was something else. No, that's okay. I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The only motion we have before us is the motion from the Finance Committee recommending rejection of this budget. I've been trying to write something into the in an email and send it out. If people give me a minute, I'll to complete that. We did want to try to have some further discussion of the budget. There are a lot of members of the board who haven't said anything up to this point, and I don't know if the GM also has anything further he wants to say.
No, at this point, look. I've done many budgets in my life. I can lie to myself. I think this is not a good politics. But I'm positive and I'm confident. I'm not saying we don't have to pay central services. I'm just saying that in this situation, this account should be out of our budget this fiscal year. I'm saying also the next this EIDL loan, at least one third should be allocated to our station. That gives us at least eight, nine, 10 months of calm to regain this listenership. By the way, I want to finish by saying you that if you are looking for a development director, a program director, a technical director and a general manager at this station, you are in front of him. So I'll be most than happy to be introduced in whatever organization you may like me to introduce to get some more funds for the station. That's not the problem. The problem again is the radio, is the programming. Because this is a radio. We can be anti-fascist, we can be whatever you want, but you have a radio. And this is what we have to support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Bella, I forgot to mention, what you said, Mr. Chair, a little while ago, I wanted to key on that. In fact, I've been calling this out for quite a while. Our financials have been misrepresented. The financials have been misrepresented because of the accrual. It should be on the balance.
All right, Bella, you've made your point. It was made previously. I have two members of the board I've not spoken yet, and I'd like to call on them. One is Marisol Cruz and then Grace Aaron.
Thank you, Michael. This is a question for the GM, Miguel. What's your recommendation in regards to passing the budget as of now?
No, my recommendation is, look, if you don't want to pass this budget, I will work with the same passion as I've been working. The only thing is that we will be in the same situation as last year and the year before. I don't see anything else. Obviously, we can redo this budget by taking into account the average day of the fund drives, but that doesn't change that much. So this is what we have. If you wanna have another budget, that's fine.
I would like to your honest perspective, your honest recommendation, the budget as it stands now, for the board to approve or to table it to another to edit and work on it more. Are you comfortable, are you confident the way it is now to go ahead and approve it? What's your recommendation,
Marisol? I am confident in the way that it is now that we can overcome this budget.
Okay, so your recommendation is to go ahead and pass it.
We can retweak, if you want, the revenues, because we want to adjust to the regular average day in a fund drive. But nevertheless, my claim is to the account of the central services to be put aside, and this new loan to be inside, just a part of this new loan. I think that we can do this.
Okay, so to go ahead and pass it with the amendment then. Thank you.
Okay, Grace Aaron.
Yes, thank you. I know that the situation at KPFK started to degenerate way before Mikkel was hired. And I understand, Stephanie, that you're facing a very difficult situation as our new executive director. However, this budget is untenable. It's not wise to take on more debt as a foundation, nor to burden the other stations with shortfalls at this station. There has to be a way to rectify this. Also, it should be understood that at four of our stations, including KPFK, we have not had one audience. The revenue stream has come up in from diverse audiences. So at KPFT and WPFW, for instance, at WPFW, two-thirds of the revenue comes in from their music. At KPFT, 60% of their income comes in from their music. We cannot expect at KPFK and WBAI, 30 to 50% of the income at least has come in from health and self-help. So, for instance, Roy Tuchman's income mainly comes in from Alan Watts, who's basically a spiritual voice, not a political voice. We have to understand that at four of our stations, we have more than one audience, and I don't think it's realistic. Also, we should look back at when we were making $3 million per a year and find out what changed and see if we can reverse those changes. And that might be the place to start to improve our income. But this budget should be rejected, in my opinion. It's not tenable. It's not going to pass the national board. Great, we have to go back to the drawing board.
All right, try to wrap up. Thank you.
That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. I have a hand up for Mr. Reyes.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to let my colleagues know that historically in the United States, it seems like everything, I mean, that this government is running, they're passing budgets on a deficit. There's been no balanced budget for this government at all. So to use that as a template is something that we have to consider. Then we could work out the other issues as we stand, because Miquel is right. Our product is programming. And if we don't refresh it, and if we don't reach out to those people who are being affected in our society that are being impacted by the systemic issues that are affecting them psychologically, economically, and then we're not going to get anywhere. And then the other thing we need to do also, I've been calling for a special days of programming, 3 days of programming that would dedicate itself to bringing in fresh voices, bringing in some high profile people to do programming and to let our listeners know that this is why we're doing it. We need to be candid and as transparent as possible. So I'm going to likely support this budget proposal.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence. I sent the motion. I can't make the motion as chair, but I sent the motion to the LSB list if you want to look at it. And I'll read it out. To go back to my email. Hang on a second. So this is a motion to adjust the budget, and it doesn't speak to the entire deficit, and it's not clear, you know, what we can do about that. Move that the budget be adjusted to reflect a higher daily intake during fund drives for February and the actuals for the previous drives during this fiscal year, and still larger daily support for the final two drives. And again, I think that's justifiable. We once had much larger support. And as Grace said,
Chair, can you just read the whole motion?
Okay, sure. Still larger daily support for the final two drives, plus income derived from a goal of 1,000 new basic members a month for the remainder of the year, and one additional sustainer each day. And by sustainer, I mean somebody donated, let's say, $30 a month or more on an ongoing basis. Additional revenues from grants should also be estimated. The LSB also recommends a further reduction in central services payments, including for the PRA, and a commitment from the foundation to make the PRA a source of income to the foundation by monetizing the archival material. So those would be adjustments to the budget as presented. I don't think it meets the goal of, filling a $900,000 gap, however, even with those changes. I would say that it might be about $250,000 in additional revenue that I think we can easily justify based on some of those goals and some of the figures. But
Kim to the stack.
Go ahead, Kim.
I don't think we should be adjusting this budget. Your idea of new members or getting new sustainers is what we call fantasy revenue, because this proposal has come up previously and it's never amounted to anything. So whatever, if it happens, it'll be great, but it's not something you put in a budget since we make budgets on historical precedents. And as for grants, Julia looked carefully at that, and she could not justify putting anything there since there is no plan from the GM about that. So that's a non-starter. And yes, it would be nice to monetize PRA. That's been a long wish list, but that's not something we can put in our budget, nor should we be passing a motion to do that. I do, however, think, and this is, aside, that we could be using more of PRA's resources for our fund drive. And I haven't seen any efforts to do that. So I would reject Michael Novick's amendment and just, you know, you can do whatever you want here. You can pass it or not pass it. But I will tell you, at the NFC, this thing isn't going to fly. It's just, it's a non-starter. So, you know, it needs major work, and it needs the CFO and the ED to work on it. You know, the LSB are just amateurs. We do oversight. We don't make the budget. The GM handed us his budget. I don't see any way to support it. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Lawrence Ray.
Fred for the stack.
Okay, Lawrence, and then Fred.
Are you the Fred? Because he hasn't spoken.
Okay, go ahead, Fred.
I think you need a second for your amendment. And if that's the case, I'll second it.
Okay. Do I have the floor, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Fred. We'll come back to Lawrence in a minute.
I have to say, I can't support this budget. I've been screaming for the last year that the station is running or at least for the last 6 months, that the station's running a $100,000 a month deficit, which is unsustainable. And nobody's, you know, all we're doing is we're adding more debt to the foundation. So the solution is to fix the problems at the station and not to keep on doing what we're doing, which isn't working. So I'm asking people to vote down this budget. Let the executive director and the national board deal with the problem. Thank you.
Yeah, do I have the floor now?
Yeah, Lawrence, go ahead, and then Beth has a hand up also.
This is the reason why I'm supporting the budget, because if we reject the budget, we reject the opportunity for the collective wisdom that the National Finance Committee could have something that they could look at and work with. If we don't adapt this budget with your amendment, Chair, we are essentially saying that we want no part in it. I'm a board member for another nonprofit, and this is, adjustments are always in order. So I think your adjustment is in order, and I would support the amendment and also the proposed budget that the GM has proposed to the LSB to give the NSC and the ED something to work with. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see Beth, and then also Marisol and Ali have hands up. So Beth Van Gunten, and then Marisol and Ali.
Thank you. Yes, I agree that the ultimate solution to this will have to be in programming. That is what we do in the world, and that will take time. I have to point out that the national network is not in a position to just carry us for month after month after month after month into the foreseeable future. It's not going to fly. It won't work. We're like $100,000 a month is just it's not realistic. We have to, if for this to work, we need to propose something within the realm of the possible.
Go ahead, the president's muted.
I'm speaking up in agreement with Fred and with Kim that I know from having attended all the National Finance Committee meetings in the last year and looked at other budgets too, and knowing how we go over those, that this isn't going to fly. There's no way that it's not close enough to reality. I think that I don't mean to speak for anyone else, but it's my understanding that the new executive director will be frowning on proposing deficit budgets in the future. So I think we need a more realistic shot at this. I think the professionals at NEDA are in the best position to do that. So I regret that I won't be able to support this budget as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Marisol, and then Ali, and I have myself on Slack again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out that the GM is the one at the helm with our support. I feel very confident, because he is confident, that this budget is the way to go given the amendments or the changes required. I believe Michael, yourself, have made the motion with those amendments for the budget to pass. And I recommend a yes on the budget. If we don't have any confidence in ourselves, I don't know where exactly we are heading as a station. And you know what? Deficit budgets are passed all the time. Structural deficits, it's part of the ongoing fluidity of budgets. And if we need to tweak it and make it, you know, as we go, given the projections of listeners and programming, we will in due time. But we need to start making decisions now if we're ever going to progress as a station. So I would say yes with amendment.
Okay, thank you, Ali. And I see Lawrence has a hand up again.
Yeah, I just want to say that by rejecting this doesn't mean that it won't go to the National Finance Committee. In fact, I would hope that if it is rejected, that it goes to the ED Stephanie Wells, the National Finance Committee, and our National Finance Officer. I think they might be in a better position to put together a realistic budget. So I'm going to join along with Beth Van Gunten, Fred Blair, and the others that say that in its current state, this is not passed. This is not acceptable. Thank you.
Okay. I think, Lawrence, you have your hand up again.
Yeah, I do. One of the things that concerns me is for a budgetary process to be taken out of the GM's hands from a station and just put in the hands of the NSC and the ED without collaboration, it's a bad practice. So if this budget does get rejected, I hope that that the GM and NEDA, Julia Kennard and Ms. Wells collaborate with the NFC to work out whatever things that they need to work out to come up realistically with a budget. I do not want the GM excluded in this process. I want them to be a collaborative partner along with Julia Kennard, Stephanie Wells, and the National Finance Committee. Thank you.
Kim to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Kim.
There will be as much collaboration as Mikhail wants. I mean, he was invited to the Finance Committee and he refused to come. He will absolutely be invited to the National Finance Committee. And I just want to point out that it was a unanimous vote on the Finance Committee to reject this budget. Also, I want to point out that deficit budgets can happen, and it's kind of what KPFK has been doing for a number of years. And there's only so far you can go with that, and we've gone that far. There is no extra money at this point to pay. Every month, it's a scramble to pay payroll. The other stations can't afford to do it, and they don't want to do it, and they shouldn't have to do it because they have their own issues. And I just want to point out that the government is very different than this organization. The government can print money. KPFK nor Pacifica can print money. We actually have to pay our bills. We have to pay our phone and our, you know, electricity and those big, big bills. So, you know, if you want to pass it, go ahead. If you want to reject it, go ahead. Just don't delay it and want to rework it here because that's just going to delay really dealing with the problem at the national, where is it has to go there. I mean, this station is not you know, sovereign.
Try to conclude, Kim.
Who has to be responsible to make sure all the stations aren't insolvent. Thank you.
Mikhail, go ahead.
I just want to point out that if
I mean, I'll be absolutely, I will work with whoever you think. We did with this budget with Julia. I frankly don't see feasible to draft a budget with 25 people, but let me know with whom do you think we have to do the budget. I think that is with the executive director, with the chief financial officer, from someone from the National Finance Committee, but not the whole committee. And we can meet and we can get a budget without deficit. The thing is that it's going to be painful. And this is the less painful budget that we came across, Julia and I. But absolutely, I mean, I am not close to discuss this budget with really someone that, I mean, to draft a budget, not with 25 people, but with people that finally we can present it, that we can move along this budget. Because, if we start doing some painful cuts, but we are not supported, it doesn't make sense, no? So that's my final thought. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mikhail. I do want to point out that last year there was a budget presented from the previous general manager. There was an effort from the local station board and the national Pacific and National Board to propose cuts. Most of those cuts have actually been carried out. The problem is that the income has reduced even more than the expenses were. So I think that it behooves to think about building into a budget increases. I realize Kim says that they're fantasy money, but the fact is that if you look over historically periods of time, we did have a much higher income than we have now, as Fred Laird pointed out. So the other thing I think that's problematic in this budget is that basically most of the expenses are prorated across the most of the income, rather, is prorated across the calendar year without regard to when it actually comes in. And I think that it does require for the remainder of the, because we're talking about the existing fiscal year, everybody needs to be clear about this. The fiscal year budget we're talking about began October 1st of 2021. And so we have October, November, December, January, and part of February as actuals at this point, as opposed to, projections. So I think that the recommendation from the local station board should be similar to what we made in the past, which is that there might need to be additional reductions, but there has to be a clear plan for increases in income over the remainder of the fiscal year. I mean, the GM has said that he's confident that we can reach the break-even point by the end of the year, but I think it has to be spelled out as, what some of those sources are, and it has to be time-bound.
Call the question.
Okay. There's a request to call the question, which would be the end of the discussion. The motion that is before us is the motion from the Finance Committee at this point to not approve the budget.
Chair, point of order. I believe what the order is your amendment.
Yeah, as the chair, somebody else has to move that.
Bella moves the motion from Michael Novick.
Okay. Everybody did receive that in the email? All right. So that would be an amendment to the Finance Committee motion.
Correct.
So I guess, Ralph, since there was no objection to calling the question, we're going to move to a vote. Ralph, I don't see you on my screen at the moment, but I think you're still here.
This is Grace. I have a point of order.
Okay. Go ahead, Grace.
It's improper to amend a main motion
with an amendment that nullifies the main motion itself. So it seems to me that the wording of the amendment is opposite to the motion, the main motion, and therefore improper per Robert's rules.
All right. Well, we may want to call it a substitute motion then.
That's what okay. It is. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the point of order.
Okay.
So considering it as a substitute to adjust the budget to incorporate some of the features that were just named, we'll call the roll on that. And then if that passes, that becomes the main motion. If it fails, we'll go back to the motion from the Finance Committee. Ralph, you still with us? Yeah, there you
go. Yes. So ready to be clear, we're voting on this substitute or whatever you want to call
yeah.
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to adjust the budget to reflect increases, various increases in income that were named.
This is Kim.
Can go ahead.
Ask a question. Is there a time frame on this? Like, if this passes, we need these changes by next week. I mean, this shouldn't drag on.
Yeah, no, the time frame incorporates it starts immediately with the with February as we're in it.
So but, then what? And then what? I mean, so there you're going. Who's going to rework this budget?
Yeah, point of order. I believe the members is not in order. I mean, the substitute's already seconded and is in order. Dilatory questions like that in regards to process is not. I don't think it's in order.
Well, whatever we send is just to respond to the question. We will send it with these recommendations on to the NFC, and then that's where it eventually gets approved and incorporated into a consolidated budget for the whole foundation, which would take place as the last year did with the consultation with the ED and the GM. So go ahead, Ralph.
Okay, Secretary calls for your vote on the substitute motion. Grace Aaron, how do you vote?
No.
Christina Avalos, absent. Alan Beek, how do you vote?
That's the call.
Okay, Jose Benavides. Jose Benavides. Come back to him. Fred Blair?
No.
Sandy Childs, absent. Marisol Cruz?
Yeah.
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Pass.
Pass?
Correct, pass.
Okay. Evelia Jones?
No.
Ali Lexa?
No.
Rob Macon? Rob Macon, are you with us?
Rob, you have to unmute. Come back to him.
Okay. Barbara Marbach, absent. Oye Ayayipo? Oye, what is your vote? Moving
on. He just muted himself for some reason.
Myla Reason?
I vote no. Myla Reason votes no.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence votes yes. Ziri Rideau?
No.
Paul Roberson? Paul Roberson? Oscar Ulloa? Oscar?
Vote yes. Oscar Villar, vote yes.
Okay, yes. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Beth Von Gutten?
No.
Carlos Zavala? Not here. Harvey Wasserman? Harvey, how do you vote?
Yes, unmute, Harvey.
Okay, circling back, Eric Jacobson?
No.
Rob Macon?
Abstain.
Abstain. Oye Ayayipo? Oye, are you with us?
Speak up. Couldn't hear you.
I said no.
Okay. Oye, got you as a no.
Jose Benavides is back on, I see, but he needs to unmute.
Jose Benavides? Jose Benavides, how do you vote? Okay, Paul Roberson. Paul, are you with us? How do you vote?
I don't think he's present.
Harvey Wasserman?
Harvey, you need to unmute, please.
Harvey, cast your vote, please.
I'm voting here.
Louder.
Hello?
Yeah, louder, Harvey. We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay. Is that loud enough?
Yeah.
Okay, I vote no.
Thank you.
Okay, got you as a no. So, Paul Roberson. Who else? Jose Benavides? Last call. Jose?
He actually made him, he's in the chat saying that he votes yes.
We're not, we're not allowed to accept votes in the chat.
He, for some reason, and Mr. Secretary, regarding Mr. Benavides, I think he says that for some reason he's not responding to him. He cannot unmute himself.
I haven't tried. I see him as if he's on a computer. It says Jose Benavides Productions, but it's muted. I don't know if he can.
Yeah, he said that he tried to do different things and he won't unmute.
All right. Well,
to be a legal vote, it has to be audible.
Oh, I see he's unmuted now. Go ahead.
I wrote that in the chat. I'm really busy at this moment, so I see I vote yes.
Good. Thank you. Everybody heard that? That was a yes vote from Jose Benavides.
Okay, I think that's it.
Okay, do we have a tally, Ralph?
Okay, it looks like 6 yes votes, 10 no votes, and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So the substitute is defeated. That is the main motion, which is the recommendation from the Finance Committee to reject the budget. Could you call the roll?
I'm sorry, say again.
The main motion goes back to the motion from the Finance Committee to reject the budget.
We vote.
Got it. Hold on.
So a yes vote in this case would reject the budget proposal, and it would go to the, be left up to the NFC.
Calling the roll on the main motion. Grace Aaron?
Yes. Yes to uphold the Finance Committee motion. Yes to the Finance Committee motion to reject the proposed budget.
Got it.
Hold on. Point of clarification, please.
Yes, what is it? What's the question?
So a yes vote now is to reject the budget?
That's correct.
Okay, Christina Avalos, absent. Alan Beek, he's left the meeting, right? Jose Benavides?
Come back to him, he's muted at the moment.
Okay, Fred Blair?
I vote yes.
Sandy Childs, not here. Marisol Cruz?
What I'm voting, this is to reject the...
Correct.
Yes.
How do you... Yes or no?
No.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Ophelia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Rob Macon?
Yes.
Barbara Marbach, not here. Oye Ayayipo?
No.
No. Myla Reason?
Myla Reason votes yes to reject the budget.
Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Jerry Rideau?
Yes, I reject the budget.
Paul Roberson? I guess he's gone. Paul Roberson? Oscar Uyoya?
No.
No. Polina Vasiliev?
No.
No. Elizabeth von Guten?
Yes.
Carlos Zavala? Not here. Harvey Wasserman? Harvey Wasserman, what is your vote?
Yeah, I vote yes.
Okay. One moment.
I'm in the east, by the way. It's 11:20.
You'll be wrapping up momentarily.
I have 10 yes votes, 6 no votes, and 0 abstentions.
I think there was someone passed. Or did I misunderstand?
Not on this round.
Okay.
Doesn't the chair vote?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He's not.
Chair votes no.
Okay, so that makes 7 no votes.
Okay, thank you. That motion carries, and that's our business for tonight. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn, and thank you all for your participation. Myla, you have your hand up.
This is Myla Reason. I'm moving
move to adjourn. Paulina, second.
I'm sorry, was that Myla moving to adjourn?
Correct.
Okay, any objection? I heard Paulina second. Okay, hearing none, we stand adjourned. Thank you for your efforts tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody.